Well, amen. Thank you, Brother Rod. If you have a copy of God's Word, why don't you go ahead and start looking for the book of James. We'll be in chapter 1 of the book of James, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and preach God's Word this morning, and I hate it for Brother Caleb that under these circumstances, he called this morning and he was not sounding very well. They're pretty sick, and so we want to pray for them. And he did ask me to tell you that he loves you and that he'll be praying for you this week. And I would encourage you to pray for him this week as well, and that they'll get past this and get on to feeling well again. I want to just give you one brief associational announcement that I want you to be aware of. We have the evangelism team for the association has asked the churches in the association to have revivals kind of simultaneously through the months of March and April, and the prayer team felt like it would be a good idea for us to precede these revivals with prayer. And so we are having three different prayer events next week. The first one is going to be in Miami on Monday the 5th, Monday the 5th at First Baptist Church, Miami. The second one will be on Tuesday the 6th at First Baptist J. And then the third one will be Thursday the 8th at First Baptist Grove. And we did that to scatter it throughout the association because some people might not be able to make each time, or maybe they don't want to, you know, drive all the way to Grove to have one. So these are times where the host church will provide some music to kind of set the tone for worship. But there will be a very specific directive about what we're praying about. There will be a facilitator there that will speak to hearts about some issues that we need to pray about as we seek revival in this association and ask God to move in Delaware and Ottawa counties and to save people and to revitalize and rejuvenate His church. And so you're welcome to come. In fact, we encourage you to come. It's not a time of fellowship. It's a time of prayer and a time of getting before God and crying out to Him. And so I just wanted you to be aware of those dates to put on your calendar, and hopefully you can come to one of those events or all of those events if you choose. Now, we're going to be in the book of James chapter 1 this morning, and I'm going to read for you what I believe to be some of the most practical words in all of the Bible. This is going to help us this morning if we will pay attention to what the Lord says through James in verses 21 through 25. The Bible says, beginning in 21, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." When we read that passage of Scripture, there are several directives given to the people of God in this passage of Scripture that we would do well to heed this morning. And so I want to look at some of those directives and see what the Lord would have us to know this morning. And the first one that we notice in verse 21 is that we are to receive the Word. Now, we think about that and we think, well, we receive the Word. We're here. We're all the time listening to the preaching, and we go to the Sunday school class and we read the Bible daily. And so we are receiving the Word. But the word receive has the idea of something more than just listening to. It has the idea of accepting the word. You know, we hear a lot of things that we don't necessarily receive. We listen to the news and we hear things that are happening around the world, and some of the things we believe that, some of the things we don't believe. But we need to receive the word of God whenever it's proclaimed. When we read it in our quiet time, we don't just need to just be reading it for information. We need to be reading it for life change. We need to be receiving the truths of God's word into our lives in order to make a difference in our lives. Now, the idea of receiving the word has with it the issue of humility, or the equivalent of having a teachable spirit. So many people in Christianity today lack a teachable spirit. And, you know, there are people that come to church and they're here because that's what you do on Sunday. It's, you know, it's tradition. You get up, you come to church, you sit there, you cross your arms, and you let the preacher just give you his best shot. And you're not going to do one thing about what he has to say, but by golly, you're going to listen to it. That's not receiving the word. That's not having a teachable spirit. That's not a person that God can transform and change and do something with, because that person is stubborn, doesn't want to be changed, doesn't want God to use them, not interested in developing in their Christian life and in their spiritual growth. And God says, listen, I want to use you. I want you to be my people to do my work, and so in order for that to happen, I need to work on you, and I need to change you. And the way I do that is that I give you my word, and you need to take that word, you need to listen to that word, you need to read that word, but you need to do that for more than just knowledge sake. You need to receive that word with a teachable spirit so that you are able to see yourself for who you are. So many times we read the Word of God or we listen to the message and we have this blind prejudice about ourselves. Well, he's not talking to me when he's preaching. Now, I know who he's talking to. She's in my Sunday school class. But he's not talking to me. And that even takes place when we read the Word of God. We read it and we say, I know somebody just like that. I should suggest this chapter to them. But listen, we need to take the blinders off and see ourselves for the way that we really are. We need to ask God as we go to His Word and look at His Word, and whether that's in the preaching service or the Sunday school class or in our devotion time at home as we read and study the Word, we need to ask God, teach me something from your word today about myself that I need to correct, something that I need to do in order for me to be more pleasing to you so that I could be a greater servant of yours and more usable by you, Lord. We've got to have that teachable spirit that's not prejudiced about ourselves, and we need to be disciplined and have this idea of whatever God you say to me, that is what I want to do for you. And then I want you to notice what he says about this word that he tells us to receive. He calls it the implanted word. The implanted word. It's the only place that this word is used in Scripture. It means to be inborn or ingrown. It's like taking a seed and putting seed into soil that has been prepared so that it can sprout forth and become a living organism that's going to produce something and do something for good. And the Lord says that His Word is implanted into the soil of our souls. We need to receive it that way. We need to prepare ourselves when we go to the Word and say, put your Word in my heart, God. Make my life, make my soul receptive to your truths, so that you can take your word and you can develop that in me and you can grow that into something that would be of honor and glory to you in my life. so that I'll be all that you've called me to be. Word of God is the greatest preventative against the sins of the flesh. We need to not just hear that, but we need to receive that into our hearts, let it grow in our lives, and use that as a tool against temptation when it comes our way. An old Scottish preacher once said, "Sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin." We need to adhere to those words today. And so this first directive that he gives to us is that we be receiving the word, but then after that he says that not only should we receive it, but we should also be doers of the word. Literally, that phrase reads, keep on becoming one who does the word. Keep on becoming one who does the word. So this indicates to us that our obedience to the Word of God is an ongoing struggle in the life of a believer. We don't just wake up one day, declare ourselves to be born again, and going to be completely obedient to everything that the Word of God says to us for the rest of our lives. No, I wished it were that easy. But the reality of it is, we have a flesh that desires things that are not godly, and we have a God who is holy and righteous in every aspect, and he puts forth words to us to tell us to be like him. He says, "Be ye therefore holy, for I am holy." And so we've got this struggle going on. And so he tells us, the directive that he gives us today is you need to focus on keeping on doing what you hear. Continue to be obedient to me. Now, there are a lot of reasons why we struggle to do what we know to do. One of those reasons is fear. God tells us to do something, and we're afraid that it's just not going to work out the way we want it to, right? We want to control everything in life, don't we? And God asks us to do things that stretch us. They are beyond our capabilities. And sometimes God says, step out on faith and go this place and do this ministry. And we're afraid. I mean, listen, what if God doesn't show up? What if God doesn't do what God's supposed to do? I'm going to look like a moron. And we don't want to put ourselves in that vulnerable position. We want to be in charge of our lives. God says, that's not trust, that's not faith. I want to put you in a place where I can show myself off. And I want to use you to demonstrate me to a lost and dying world. We need to come to the place where we're not afraid. We're not afraid of failure. You know what? The number one reason why people won't share Christ with their neighbors or their loved ones, they're afraid that their neighbors or their loved ones will reject them. But listen to me. It's not your gospel. It's his gospel. And so if they reject anything, they're rejecting him, not you. And so Satan will put that fear in our hearts and say, you couldn't possibly share your faith with anybody because they might reject you. Well, that's a lie. They can't reject you. You're not offering you. You're offering Christ to them. And so fear's a thing that binds us up and keeps us from obeying and doing the Word of God that we've received. But then here's this other thing that has snuck into the church, and this is one of the most detrimental things to the church today, in my opinion, and that is apathy. Apathy. The dictionary defines apathy as a lack of interest in or concern for things which others find moving or exciting. I'm just telling you right now, you cannot or should not be able to read the Word of God and not find that exciting. There are some of the greatest stories in the world in the Bible. I mean, if you like war, Man, there's some war stories in there. You like soap operas? Oh, my goodness. There's all kinds of that stuff in there, right? Because it's the story about people and God stepping into people's lives and coming to set them free and to change them and to redeem them from their fallen state. How could you not be excited about that? But yet, over and over and over, we see people in our churches who simply will not obey the Word of God because they're just apathetical to everything having to do with God. They get up, they come to church because that's their duty, it's tradition, that's what everybody does in the Bible Belt on Sunday morning. But don't you ask me to do anything besides come to church on Sunday morning. I'm not going to do it. I just don't care. And we all struggle with that. It's so easy for us to just lose interest and concern for the lostness of this world. And you know, it's just think about it in these terms. What if you were a research scientist and you had discovered the cure for cancer? And you knew it. And your neighbor had cancer and was in stage 4 and was dying of cancer and you had the cure. And you just said, oh, well, somebody will figure it out and tell him. And you simply didn't walk across the yard and knock on his door and say, I can help you, friend. That's a perfect illustration of what's going on in some of our churches today with some of our people today. We just don't care about the lostness of the world anymore. And so we're not doers of the word because of our apathy. And listen, doers of the word of God are doers of the will of God. Because the Word of God is His will for us. That's what He wants us to do. That's His direction for us. And so if you want to be in the will of God and do the will of God, you got to do the Word of God. So He says, be doers of the Word. And then this next directive, He says, don't be hearers only. That phrase, only hearers or mere hearers, literally means to audit. Don't just be auditors of the Word. You know what an auditor is, right? You know someone audits a college class. What do? They go to class. They listen to the professor teach. They pay attention, take their notes. They do all that. But come test day, they don't have to take the test. Come time to turn in that big, long paper, they don't have to turn in that big, long paper. I went to school with some of those guys. Wanted to take them out and punch them in the nose whenever it was time to write that paper, right? They just were there, just observing. But guess what? At graduation day, there wasn't a diploma either. The Lord tells us through James, don't just sit and listen and audit the words that are being spoken to you as you read the Word of God or as the Word of God is taught to you. You've got to be more proactive with it. You've got to quit auditing the Word of God. And you've got to get out there and do the Word of God. Because that's His will for those He's called. And let me give you a good reason why you need to do that. Most people will listen to the Word of God being taught, and they will agree with that, and they will say, yes, that's right. There aren't very many people who call themselves Christians that will open up the Bible and read it and say, no, I don't agree with that. I mean, we've come to the conclusion that we believe the Word of God is the truth, the whole truth, right? All of it's true. Amen? It's without error. If you don't believe that, you might be in the wrong church today. James says in chapter 4 and verse 17, those that know to do right and do not do it, to them it is sin. And so if we know what we're supposed to do with the Word of God, we hear the Word of God, but we just simply refuse to do it, you might as well just say, yep, I'm living in sin. I'm a sinful individual. I'm in rebellion to God. I'm being belligerent. I'm just bowing up at Him. He's told me directly what to do, and I just told Him, no, I'm not going to do it. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it really hard to believe that God's going to bless that individual. We've got to hear His Word, receive His Word, but we also have to do His Word. And look what He says in verse 22. He tells us not to delude ourselves or to deceive ourselves. This word's only used one other time in the New Testament. That's in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4. It means to cheat or deceive by false reasoning. To cheat or deceive by false reasoning. See, the deception comes from thinking that we've done all that's necessary by hearing, when actually listening to the Word of God is only the beginning of the process. God didn't write His Word for our entertainment or amusement. He wrote this book as a guide for our lives so that we can participate in His plan. How many of you know that God has called you to be active in His plan? He wants to save the whole world. And how does He want to do that? He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross to take away their sin, and He left you and I here to tell everybody about that. And so God's plan is to use you and I. He doesn't have a plan B. There is only one plan, and that's to use the church. In the Bible Knowledge Commentary, John Wolford and Roy Zook said this: the growing numbers of sermon sippers who flit from one doctrinal dessert to another like helpless hummingbirds are deceiving themselves. How many people do you know that just love to come and hear the preacher preach the message? And I can't wait till the next good message comes. Listen, I've been a pastor for many, many, many years. I cannot tell you how many times I've stood at the back of the sanctuary and people walked out the door and shook my hand and said, great message, Pastor. I can count on one hand the times people came by and shook my hand and said, Pastor, that was a great message. I'm going to apply that to my life this week. I'm going to go out and do everything that you said in that message today. I promise you, people just don't say that. People come to church so that they can hear more stuff about the Bible and about Jesus, so that they can feel good about Jesus. And they never stop to consider, is there more to it than just listening to the message? God wants to use us, and we deceive ourselves if we think that listening to it is all that God requires of us. And James, being the great preacher that he was, uses an illustration here to make the point. In verses 23 through the first part of 25, he compares the Bible with a mirror. And listen, what do we know about mirrors? Unfortunately, they just don't lie, do they? I mean, mine doesn't. It tells the truth. And the Bible doesn't lie either. When we look into a mirror, we see all of our wrinkles and all of our bad spots and all of those things. And the Bible gives us an accurate reflection of what we are spiritually, because we read the Word, and He says to us in His Word, this is what my disciples do. This is what I want you to do. This is a plan for your life. This is what you need to seek. This is what your attitude needs to be. This is what your motivation needs to be. And when we read that stuff, we have to look at that and we have to say, is that me? Am I lining up with that? And so many times, if we're honest, we have to say, no, I've got work to do in that area of my life. I've got to change this, and I got to do different this way, and I got to refocus, and I got to make a game plan to get to where God wants me to be because I'm not there right now. When we look at our passage of Scripture, we see that he tells us in 23 and 24, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of a person he was. That word looks at there means take a casual, haphazard glance. How many times do you just go by the mirror and you don't want to know the real truth about it and you just look at it, yeah, I'll be all right. And you just go on, right? Because you know if you really looked at it and you really studied it, you'd say, man, that doesn't look very good on me. I need to change clothes or something. We do that as Christians when we look at the Word of God. We take a haphazard, casual glance. It's important to know what God's Word says, but it's more important to adhere to what God's Word says. It can be illustrated this way. It's kind of like the difference between reading a menu and eating the meal. Now, which would you rather do? You know, I don't go to a restaurant to sit down and see what they have. I go to the restaurant to eat. That's my number one priority. And then I choose from the menu what I want to eat. But I don't think there's ever been a time I've went to a restaurant and sat down and read the menu and said, nah, I don't want any of this, and just left. We can't just read it and not apply it. Oftentimes as Christians, we see our responsibility, but our response is, I just don't want to do it. Or, that's just not me. I just don't do that. That's not my gift. That's not my talent. That's just not where I want to serve. What if Michelangelo had said, I don't do ceilings? We really missed out, wouldn't we? I mean, there are a whole lot of great people did a lot of great things. What if Noah said, I don't do boats? You know what I mean? We look at this and we see all of these people in scriptures and people in real life that have done so many great things. What if they just said, I don't do that? What if David said, I don't do giants? What if Jesus said, I don't do crosses? In verse number 25, he gets down to the positive side and what we're supposed to do. He says, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. That word looks into there means to stoop down and look intently in order to see something. It's the same word that was used in John 20, verse 5 and verse 11, when both John and Mary went and looked into the empty tomb of Jesus. They were looking intently to see, was Jesus in there? They had come to see Jesus. They heard Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. The stone was rolled away. They went. They looked. They didn't just take a casual glance and say, oh, maybe he's in there, maybe he's not. I'll deal with it later. No, they looked intently because they wanted to know the truth about their Savior. Did he raise from the dead? Is he the Messiah that he told us he was. When we take an intense and a sustained look at the Word of God with a willingness to respond, we will be set free by the perfect law of liberty to do the will of God. We won't do things because we have a list of rules and regulations and traditions that we think that we're supposed to do, but we will have been transformed by that seed of the Word of God that has found root in our hearts, that are prepared and receptive for the truth of God. And we will say, I want to do what you've told me to do, Lord. I want to be used by you. I want to be a tool in your great plan of salvation to the world. Where, God, can I go out and use the gifts and the talents that you've given me so that I can tell other people about your love and your greatness so that they too might know you in a personal way the way that I know you? When we look at the Word with a view of, I want this Word to change my life, God will honor that prayer, and God will honor that attitude and that heart, and He will change our lives for the better. And in fact, in verse 25, He makes this promise to us. When we look intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and it abides and abide by it, we're not forgetful hearers, but effectual doers. We will be blessed in what we do. Spiritual blessings do not come from knowing God's truth. Spiritual blessings come from practicing God's truth. There's no joy in just knowing about the things that we ought to do. The joy comes in doing the things that we ought to do and seeing God use us in the transformation of lives. You and I have plenty of opportunities to serve God right here in our community. We all know people that don't yet know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. God's gifted us all in different ways to start those conversations with those people. Not everybody's called to be the preacher that stands behind the pulpit and proclaim the truth on a Sunday morning. Some of you are called to be the friend to somebody at your workplace that's struggling, to go over and help them with their emotional needs and their physical needs sometimes, so that you can get that opportunity for them to see Jesus in you, so that you can then tell them what Jesus wants to really do in their lives. And the Bible tells us, in His Word, He tells us, that's what you're supposed to be doing, church. All believers are supposed to be interacting with people outside of the walls of the congregation, outside of these four walls of this auditorium. We should be out there engaging people that we know, building those relationships with people that don't know Jesus, so that we can share with them how they can come to have the same faith and the same trust and the same forgiveness of sins that we have found. You can't walk the second mile until you've walked the first. You can't say, someday I'm going to do what God tells me to do. You have to start small. You have to start right now. You have to look at the truth of God's Word. You have to see what God's saying to you. And you've got to make those adjustments in your life to be not just a hearer of the Word of God, but to be a doer of the Word of God. And if you do that, the promise of God is that He will bless you, that He will use you, that you will be that servant that when you get to your eternal home in heaven, you will hear Him say, "Well done. Well done. You followed the book. You read it. You received it. You applied it to your life. You went out and did what I told you to do. That's all in the world I ever asked of you." And man, there's no greater reward than that. I don't know how God may have spoken to your heart in this message today. I just know that it's just human nature that we struggle with being obedient to the Word of God. And so I don't feel like that I preached a sermon today that didn't apply to anybody. I know it applies to me. And so if God's spoken to your heart in any way, we're going to have an opportunity for you to come and do business with God. Tyson's going to be at the front. There'll be others. Brother Rod's going to come and lead us in some music. I want you today to make that decision in your heart that you are going to begin being obedient to God in what He tells you to do out of His Word. And if it helps you to solidify that decision by coming forward and praying or telling one of these men that you're making a decision that you're going to start applying God's Word to your life and be more obedient to it, then I'd encourage you to do that. If you don't have to do that, then you just take care of business where you're at and let God lead you. And I'm going to pray, and then we'll stand, and this will be a time for us to do business with God. Father, I thank You for Your Word and the truth of Your Word, and I pray that during this time of invitation, Father, that You would make us obedient to the preaching of Your Word, Lord, and if there's some decision that we need to make that You want us to come forward and to just deal with here at the altar, God, I pray that You'd give us the ability to do that, Father, and we pray it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.